This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, good morning, church. How are we this morning? We're doing good. Did you guys have a good Christmas? Yeah, absolutely. Great. So I'm Pastor Mike, and I'm going to share the word of God with us this morning. Excited for the opportunity to do that. Last week, in the last few weeks, if you've been with us, we've been in a series called Put Offs. We're talking about putting off things that get in the way of our faith and our belief in Jesus. So if you missed those, please jump back, check them out. Even at our Christmas Eve service this past week, great time, great celebration, thinking about the coming of our arisen Savior, Jesus. So jump back online, though. Jump on our YouTube, on our website, or you scan that QR code even to get to our website and check out all these past messages. Along with all of these, we have something called a sermon discussion guide, and this is to ask questions in your family or with your friends or with your small group about what we just talked about during our Sunday services. Great opportunity just to dive a little bit deeper into the conversation that we have this morning. Now today, we're going to be talking about a question, a pretty tough question: is God real? We're going to jump into that today. And getting ready for this message, I actually asked a handful of you and some of my family and friends this question as well. I said, you know, how do you know God is real? What has been compelling to you in your life that God is real? And I got to tell you that these were really fun conversations, great conversations, awesome and very encouraging to me. And I think it's because as I hear people talk, God has revealed himself, shown himself to different people at different times in different ways through different experiences. And these are all very powerful. And so I think even through you all, through us, I can learn a little bit more about God. And I just think that's a very cool opportunity. And so I wanted to jump into this and kind of do a little research as well and see what are the things that the Holy Spirit has done in our lives to reveal himself to us and to show how awesome he is. Now with this, when you're talking to other people and as I'm talking to them, I'm grateful for their experiences and for how their faith has been grown because God has revealed himself to them. But there's only one problem with that. That's their faith. And that doesn't work for me necessarily, right? Like, that's their faith, and their faith is good, but that eternally doesn't change something for me. It's still got to be my faith as well. I have to choose to believe and to follow Jesus. So today we're going to do some real talk about this. We're going to talk about, is God real, and how do we know? So I was doing a little bit of research even on that question. Did you know that that question online is typed into the little search bar about 200 times every second? Isn't that crazy? In the time that we're here for this service this morning, that means it'll be about 720,000 times globally that that question is asked online. That's nuts. That's craziness that this is so prevalent in our society. It's all over the place that this question is on the forefront. People are asking and wanting to know the answer to this question. As I was doing a little research and looking at these things online, I noticed something else. I don't know if you guys saw this. There's a guy by the name of Eric Honnold. Have you heard of this? He's going to be climbing a skyscraper. It's 101 stories. He's going to be climbing, free climbing the skyscraper. Absolutely insanity, right? Like, in my mind, I'm like, what is going on here? But this is happening. He's going to be doing this. Now, when I was thinking about this, I do like climbing. I love climbing. And one of the things in climbing that's really important is your hands, right? Like, to stay on whatever you're climbing, you got to have good handholds. You've got to be able to hold on good. Otherwise, bad things can happen, right? And some of us have seen monkey bars. I put it on the screen in case you haven't seen these in a little while. They're kind of like a rite of passage for us as we grow up. And my kids, super fun. When they finally get to this point that they're actually able to hold on to that handhold called a monkey bar long enough and make it across, they wanted me to shoot a little video to show evidence that they made it across the monkey bars. Super fun. And very cool opportunity for them growing up as well. Now, as we think about these things, we think about grabbing on and holding on to handholds. It's super important. with this question, is God real? I want to think about handholds as well. And I want to give you handholds as well. So if you're climbing up a skyscraper, if you're climbing across the monkey bars, you want to have good handholds. Well, in this question, is God real? I want to give you good things to hold on to, that you can hold on to give you confidence and reminders in your faith. So today we're going to jump into that and into how to have conversations, questions to ask to help you and others ponder, is God real? Now, if you do have these questions, I encourage you, anytime you have them, to have them with a lot of humility and a lot of love. And I believe this because all people are created by God, and they are His handiwork. And so I want to treat them as such. This is God's creation that I'm talking with. And so I want to treat them with humility and love as you engage in tough questions about, is God real? Now, have you ever tried a handhold that didn't work? You ever tried climbing something and that handhold didn't work out for you too well? Right? So this happened to me a few years back, maybe five-ish years ago. I was going to try out this place locally. It's really an incredible feat of climbing, and I was like, I can do this. So I go up and I step up to the edge and I reach out to grab this monkey bar, and I have to get across these 10 monkey bars, right? And I'm like, okay, I can do this. I'm going to show off to my kids about how awesome I am. I can do the monkey bars. And I go out and I reach this first one, and I wanted to do something called skip bar. Now, if you're sitting next to a young person, they can explain to you what skip bar is. If not, you'll have to find one later. But I'm reaching out and I grab the first bar and I get a hold of it, and I'm doing well. And I reach out to the next one and I grab a hold of it. Now, the problem is this isn't like the monkey bars that maybe you see at some of the schools. Now, this is the old school monkey bars that are made out of wood, right? And what happens to wood after about 30 years? Yeah, you figured it out. It doesn't last. So I grab a hold of this next monkey bar, and I swear, it just like disintegrated in my hand. I thought I grabbed it, and I look, and I'm like, there's nothing there, as I fall straight on my back, right? Fortunately, the monkey bars were like 6'2", and I'm like 6' exactly, so I didn't fall that far. But it was pretty impressive that I was able to fall right on my back in front of my kids, right? Oh, man. So that's what happens, though, when your handholds aren't good, is you grab a hold of this thinking it's going to be good, and then you fall. And if it's a monkey bar, you might get hurt a little bit. If it's something bigger that you're climbing, you could get injured pretty badly, right? That's the risk. And in life, if we're holding on to the wrong thing, there's an eternal problem at stake, right? We got to be holding on to something that is solid. So today I want to talk about these things, but I want to preface it a little bit, because I want to say this, because this question has been around for a long, long time. Is God real? So there may not be 100% proof, a perfect bullet or arrow that would convince everybody all time that this is true, or a perfect miracle that would, right? I think there was a perfect miracle, and His name is Jesus, and He came as a baby. We just talked about that, didn't we? He came as a baby, and He came to this earth from a virgin birth, and then He came and He taught all about Himself and all about who our God is. And He did miracles. He healed people, and He was able to feed thousands of people. And then He did a crazy miracle at the end where He dies and He comes back to life, and He pays the penalty for all of our sins in one thing. Now, there were a lot of people around that saw that, and some still didn't believe. So I don't think that there's necessarily this 100% foolproof, it will change you no matter what. But I do believe that there are handholds that can help with the conversation, and that can help you to go, God is real. He is logical. He's true. So today I may not be able to answer all your questions about this, about is God real, but hopefully it can be a start to the conversation and it can push you down this road. So I want to talk to you about some handholds. One of the handholds I want to talk to you about is the earth. Now, I go to the Word of God because I believe God did something crazy when He gave us this book, and it was Him showing Himself to us. And so I want to go here because God has spoken to us through it. And in the Word, if you open, there's little Bibles right in front of you if you wanted to grab one. Super easiest place to find in the whole Bible, Genesis 1:1 tells you and starts off with something really important. So I want to read just that verse out of Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God what? Do you guys know this? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when I hear that, I go, oh, that's amazing. There's got to be some things around that kind of point to that having happened. So we're going to get to that, though. But I want to flip you to another verse later on in the Bible, references back to this, Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 says this, for since the creation of the world, right? We just talked about the creation. What happened? God created. And then you can go on and read all about that. And I challenge you to read through the rest of Genesis 1. You can hear about how God created. For since creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Now let's talk about this for a second. So since the creation of the world, it's not like just a part of the world, just the creation of one little part, but the creation of the whole world. God's invisible qualities, his eternal power has been able to be seen, his divine nature and the fact that he is God have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Now we just read God created the heavens and the earth, and it goes on and talks about everything, and God has created it. So from all of those things, it says that it can be clearly seen that he is God. Now that's called general revelation. It's a big word. What that means is that it's what you can generally see, how God has shown himself to us, and it's accessible to all. All of us can see that. Now, there's one thing that I think that God has made that you can't escape. Whether you can see, whether you cannot see, whether you can hear or not hear, whether you can taste, touch, feel, any of the 5, 6, however many senses you think you have right now, you can't escape this one. It's you. This one's always with you. In Matthew 10:31, Matthew 10:30 through 31. We normally read, right, lower numbers to bigger numbers. We'll get there. Even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Who are they numbered by? God. Here's a challenge for you, right? The kids start going crazy in the car. Your spouse starts going crazy in the car. Just have them start counting the hairs on their head. And when they figure out how many are there, have them let you know. It'll be a good challenge. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And this is the psalmist singing it back to God. I praise you because he knows that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are a work of God. So when we look at ourselves, we should be able to see this. We should be able to see that we are crazy, complex humans that God has made, that he's designed in a crazy way to work together. So let's talk about some crazy people and how we work together. Did you know, did a bunch of research over these past few weeks on this, did you know that there are 60,000+ miles of blood vessels? You can look that up online later. Cleveland Clinic and a bunch of other resources think that 60,000+ miles of blood vessels in an adult human. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time I went 60,000 miles was never, so I don't know how long that is. Like, that's a long, long way. It only takes me 1 mile to get lost, right? Like, that's all I need. I don't need 60,000. If I tried to go 60,000, I guarantee you at some point I would be lost. Try and figure out how to navigate 60,000 miles of blood vessels and make them actually work. I guarantee you if that was my job, we'd be missing some limbs. Some things would not be working right. Right? But if you lay 60,000 miles of blood vessels end to end, you know how long that reaches? All the way around the equator. 2.5 times. Isn't that crazy? That's how long the blood vessels are in our body. Do you know that there are 36 trillion cells in adult men, 28 trillion in the average adult woman? All the 10-year-olds in the room, any 10-year-olds in here? Nope. There are 17 million in your body. That's one with 12 zeros after it. That's a number I don't understand, right? Like, I get to one and I'm pretty good. I get to 10, I'm pretty good. 100, okay, we're getting somewhere. 1,000 starting to get to the edge of my understanding, right? You get into the million and you've just blown my mind. And you get to 12 zeros afterwards and I don't even understand what's happening anymore. That's how many. There's over 600 muscles in your body. Did you know that a smile, can I have you all do this for me for a second? Can you just give me a smile? All right, some of you, your smile was a little bit less. That's more like 5 muscles used. That's what they say. Some of them are way at the far end. There are 50-plus muscles being used. That's because it was a sincere smile, not just one that you were faking, but that you're showing up into your eyes and your nose and your whole face. Isn't that crazy? Your body knows whether to use 5 or somewhere in between 50-plus muscles to make a smile. Here's kind of a gross one, but we're going to share it anyways. Your mouth produces about 1 liter of saliva each day. Think about that. That's fun. Your stomach needs to produce a new layer of mucus, that's a protection around it, every 2 weeks, or it would digest itself. That'd be a fun problem. Relative to size, do you know what the strongest muscle in the body is? Your tongue. Surprising. You guys are learning so many things today. Me too. Do you know human thigh bones are stronger than concrete? And here's a few more fun facts. Our eyes are always the same size from birth. That's why when you look at a baby, you're like, wow, they have big eyes. Their eyes are the same size. They never change. It's just their bodies get bigger. But our nose and our ears never stop growing. A lot of times I think this, I'm like, my head, your skull is made up of 29 different bones. It's not one bone, it's 29 different bones that form your skull. There are 15 million blood cells that are destroyed in the human body every second. That's crazy to think about. The average human will shed 40 pounds of skin in a lifetime. That's not a weight loss plan, that's just what happens. Every human spent about a half an hour as a single cell. Isn't that crazy? These are some things pulled off of Women's Health of Augusta. Just interesting facts that you can find online as well, doing some crazy research. So I want you to do me a favor, though. Turn to your right and turn to your left. And I want you to tell that human next to you, you are really complex. Some of you have said that before, I can tell. All right. Let's do this one. Turn to those same people and say, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's just good truth this morning. So in Psalm 19:1, this is going to take us to our another handhold part of, so we were talking about humans as a handhold, and we're going to talk about Earth and the solar system as a handhold as well. In Psalm 19:1, we've got another psalmist writing. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. If you read through the rest of the psalm, super awesome psalm that just goes into more depth on that. But the heavens declare the glory of God. So when you look up, you see the glory of God. Now, there's a guy by the name of Louis Giglio. He's a pastor at a church. It's called Passion Church in Georgia. You got to check out this sermon he does. He talks about the greatness of God. And in the sermon, he talks about the biggest star that they've been able to find to date. Now, at that time, he shared that one. And I'm not going to go over his whole sermon, but I want to share this because it's actually bigger now, of course, right? They found something bigger. And when I heard about it, I was like, I got to share this. This is craziness. It's so big. Now, this star is called Stevenson 218. It's so big that if it was in our solar system, it would cover up the orbit of Mercury. That's not the planet Mercury. That's the
the way that it makes itself around the sun, right? That path that it makes, the orbit that it makes around the sun, it would cover up the orbit. That's how big it would be. In the orbit of Venus, in the orbit of Earth, in the orbit of Mars, in the orbit of Jupiter, in the orbit of Saturn. If you do the math there, we're only a few planets left in our solar system just by the sheer size of this star. That's insanity. It's 2 times the size of the star that Louis mentioned just a few years back, which was the biggest at that time. It's so big in terms of the Earth. If the Earth was the size of a golf ball, as Louis says, if the Earth was the size of a golf ball, and we wanted to see how many Earths could fit inside of Stevenson 218, do you know how many Earths that would be? It would be enough to fill the entire state of Texas. Have you been to Texas? Have you tried to drive to Mexico? If you ever try to drive to Mexico, first of all, it's a really long drive, okay? Be prepared. You get to Texas and you're like, yes, last state, we're almost there. No, you're not almost there. You're like halfway, okay? You get to Texas and you're like, okay, we got to go through a whole other country and then we can get to Mexico. Like, that's the size of Texas. It's massive. Do we have any 4 or 5 year olds in a room? Anybody 4 or 5 years old? Well, later on, you can look one up. And because the average size of a 4 or 5 year old is 41 inches tall. So it would be enough golf balls to cover the entire state of Texas 41 inches deep in golf balls. That's the average height of a 4 or 5 year old. That's crazy. That's how big that star is. Insanity that is possible, and that was created and made that way. Now, I think we can look all around. Not, you don't just have to look up at the sky, but you can look around the Earth, and you can see awesome, beautiful, incredible things that make you say, wow, all around us. I want to show you a few of these places around the Earth, because like we read in Romans 1:20, it's the whole Earth. There's this place called Pink Sands Beach. It's on my list now. Because look at that. It's got pink sand. How do you not want to go and see that? That is absolutely stunning. So beautiful. Pink Sands, Harbor Island, Bahamas. This is not the only place that has pink sand, but it's one of them. Super beautiful. When I look at that, I can't help but go, wow, God. There's a place in China in this geopark. I don't even know how to say the name. That is just incredible as well. When you look at this, there's other places around the world like this, but you look at this, I look at that and I go, somebody made that, right? Look at that. Look at how it's all lined up in order with different amazing, beautiful colors. That's incredible. Another place in Zambia and Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls. This is massive falls. Now, you can tell that the picture's been doctored a little bit. What they did is they slowed it down, right, so you can see the falls in a little bit different way. But it stretches in between these cliffs and massive tumbling waterfalls, both powerful and beautiful, all in one spot. So we're doing a lot of flying right now. You're going to have to, you know, gather your family up and fly all these places. It's going to be a pretty expensive flight. There's another place in Madagascar. It's called the Avenue of the Baobabs. And these trees are insane to me because they're massive and they grow in places that there's not that much water. Yet they have these incredible things that grow. And there's a street, I don't know if you can see it right there. There's a street that you can drive through right in the middle of these massive trees. Check them out later on, though. They have a really cool flower as well. There's a place in Australia called the Great Barrier Reef. And this is just looking at it from the outside. The beauty of that is stunning. Not to mention inside of it, how all these animals and plants live together and somehow work. Out in California, now we're flying to the other side of the world, there is a national park called the Redwood National Park. Anybody been out here yet? We got a couple people, so you've seen this. These are some people you can see on the screen as well that are in front of these massive trees to show you the size. Do you know the tallest tree in the world, at least that we have measured? You know how tall it is? 380 feet tall. It's called Hyperion. It's crazy. You're actually not even allowed to go visit. They don't even tell you where it is because they don't want you to go out and do anything to it. Crazy, though. There's another place called Giant's causeway when I look at this. I'm like, somebody made that. And you're like, no, it wasn't people. That's just the element that is made. That's what it does, is it forms those shapes. So yes, somebody did make that. It just wasn't a human. One of my favorite places, Grand Teton National Park. This is a well-known mountain range that if you walk to the base of it and you look straight up, it's over a mile that you're looking straight up at these incredible mountains. I don't know if you know this about mountains, but if you go into the mountains, you can look at the weather for that day, and it'll say sunny, high of 80 degrees. And you'll walk in there, and you'll be like, it's snowing, high of 30 degrees. That's just the weather in the mountains is nuts. It goes crazy, and that's how it's made. There's another place, I don't even know how to say this name, so I'm just going to call it the country of Turkey. These are thermal hot pools, so I don't recommend necessarily going into them, but super beautiful to look at with the white and the blue together. I don't know what it is for you. It could simply be something that you see in your backyard. So I've learned something that you can do a little while back. You can drill a hole in a log, and then you can drill another hole in the side, and then you can light it on the inside, and then the log will just continue to burn from the inside like this. So we figured this out a while back, and we've been doing it ever since. You can just set it there, and then it'll just cook, and you can, like, put little hot pans on the top of it, and you can cook some bacon and stuff. Incredible, right? Like, who thought of that? I don't know, but it's amazing. Incredible things that you can see in your home and backyard. And I know I saw just recently on the internet, we had some aurora borealis, and there was pictures all over the place that you can see even from your own home. So I don't know what it is that you see around the world, but I believe it's even as close as your own backyard. I want to talk to you about another crazy complex thing. I'm going to go quick through these ones. These are crazy animals, loving animals, yummy animals, depending on how you look at it, right? There's this one that's called a kangaroo rat, because I think it looks like a kangaroo. These things, they live in a place called Death Valley. You know how hot it gets in Death Valley? The highest recorded surface temperature on the Earth? 134 degrees. That's cooking, right? This thing lives there. And you know what's even crazier about it, that it lives there? It never drinks water its whole life. Not once. That's insane. There's another one that's called the bar-headed goose. This one, you're like, wow, Mike, that's a goose, right? Like, what's crazy about that? This thing has been seen flying over Mount Everest. No oxygen assist, right? We got to go up there with oxygen to survive. There's the longest animal on Earth is a siphonophore. It's 150 feet. Don't touch it, okay? If you ever see this, this is a jellyfish. Don't touch it. It's super long. It'll be painful. There's another animal that's called the axolotl. Have you seen this one? These things are so cool. They can regrow like any part of their body except for their head. So if they lose it, they'll just grow it back in a couple hours or something. I don't know. Somebody else can do the research on the actual time. Here's one that'll freak you out. This is called the paradise flying snake. They are not here. They do not live in the U.S., so you are safe, okay? And they also don't eat humans. They eat things that are lizards. Now, the crazy thing is that these things can fly or glide about the length of a football field. That's crazy. Fortunately for the lizard that they're chasing, it's called a Draco lizard. They can also fly. Kind of crazy. The fastest animal on Earth is the peregrine falcon. Can go 240 miles an hour. We actually use the shape of the peregrine falcon to make one of our planes, the B-2 bomber, and designed it after it because we believe it was also designed. Now, one that you might see a little bit more regularly is a dog. Aww, right? You see the nose right there? Do you know this about dogs? Every dog's nose print is different from every other dog, just like all of our fingerprints are different. Kind of crazy. Did you know as well that dogs' sense of smell, right? You probably have heard this. Their sense of smell is insanely more than ours. It's so good that they can smell your fear. Literally. Because when you are afraid, you actually sweat a little bit, and they can smell that sweat coming out of your body. The way that it comes out, they can smell your fear. So yeah, the next time that you notice like, oh, I'm feeling a little different, and your dog comes over to you, they can literally smell that something is different about you. Now, I think all these things point to a purpose. They have a reason for being here. That reason is they were designed. And if they were designed, they'd have to be designed by something greater than what was made. Did you get that? They have to be designed by something greater than what was made. What's going to be greater than Stevenson 2:18? Remember that son that we just talked about? What's going to be greater than that? I don't know what it is that you see and it makes you say, wow. But you got to find it. It's a handhold for you. So for you, here's my challenge for you is to take pictures. Some of you are like, see, he told me to take pictures. See, she told me to take pictures. So that's what I should be doing. Make a picture album of the things that remind you about God. The things that you look at and you go, that's incredible. If you're talking to other people, here's a couple things to talk with them. You look around, you ask them to look around, and you say, what do you see when you look around? And then when they point out something, you can ask these two questions. Where do you think it came from? And how do you think it started? Where do you think it came from, and how do you think it started? That answer is going to point back to God. Now, these are handholds that I think we can grab a hold of, and there's a bunch more that I want to share with you as well, but we are going to run out of time if I do that, and we'll be here for about 2 more days, right? And then we'll get through it all. But I wanted to give you some today, something that you can hold on to. And I want you to do your research. Let this start the conversation. Let this encourage you to find other handholds for you. Find other good ones. I'm going to have our worship team start making their way up here. Because I want you to do this week. You've got one for you, right? To find the things that scream God. And my challenge to you to help you with that is to ask 5 people this week, why do you believe in God? Ask 5 people that you know that believe in God. Ask them, why do they believe in God? And what made you believe in him? I think you're going to be encouraged. I think you're going to find out some awesome, amazing things about God. Maybe you already knew them. Maybe you didn't. But regardless, they're going to be good reminders about who God is and how madly he loves you. I believe our God works in crazy ways. Maybe today, as you think about this, it makes you go, wow, I do believe in you. I do believe in you, God. I'm going to pray to end, and if you've seen these things, if you remember, if the Holy Spirit's moving in you in a way where you go, God, you are real, and I do believe in you, and I do believe even so much that I do believe in your son Jesus as well and what he has done for me on the cross. I'm going to ask you to pray with me and to pray that prayer as well, to accept him today. And if you do accept Jesus today, be one of those 5 people and share that with somebody else. We'd love to hear about it. There's a QR code in front of you. You can scan that QR code and there's a little button on it that says, I chose Jesus. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to celebrate you, to pray with you, and to praise God because of what he's done in your life. Let's pray together. If you are choosing to follow him today, just pray these words after me. God, I believe you. I believe in your son, Jesus. He died and rose again, and I accept his gift of life, and I choose to follow you. Man, God, you are so good. We praise you. We praise you because of all these wonderful things. We praise you because of the world around us, the earth that you have created, that crazy star that is the size of the orbit of Saturn. Whether it's the crazy, beautiful places that we see around the world or the one that I can't escape in my own body that you have somehow made my body work. You are incredible, God, and you are worthy of being praised because you are the one who has done it all. God, I praise you for the opportunity to know you, that you have shown yourself to us both in your creation, but also in your word. That you have revealed yourself through your word and through your son, Jesus. Thank you so much for the gift of life that he offers through the life that he sacrificed. God, you are so good. We give you all the glory. We want to sing our praise to you now because you are the one that is worthy of all of it. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.